Time to get our weekly view from the middle. Looks like his downtime is over. Just wrapped Big Ten Media Days. Find what he's up to. USA Today. Pick up a copy at the newsstand or online, usatoday.com. Follow along on Twitter. The handle is at George Schroeder. The flexible George Schroeder joins us. George, how are things?
I'm really good. Life is good. I just got back from that round of Media Days, and, you know, that means football is here, basically. Everybody's opening camp, amazingly enough, this week, most people are.
No, it's crazy. So you were in Chicago last Sunday night. We talked about it. Did you make it to Wrigley for Cubs and Cards, any chance?
Well, it depends. I did make it to Wrigley. I walked around the perimeter of Wrigley. I heard cheers and saw into the stadium from the various vantage points, but I did not actually get into Wrigley because I got there kind of late. I didn't want to pay for a ticket, I guess because I'm cheap, basically.
George,
met some friends. We ate dinner and just hung out and talked.
So, George, fess up. You're banned from Wrigley. You're Steve Bartman, aren't you?
Well, yeah, I wasn't going to bring that up. But, yeah, I actually am not allowed into Wrigley.
Wow.
Because of what happened the last time.
Just when you think you know a guy. So, beyond the Big Ten, you covered a few other items this week. Lane Kiffin, who, incredibly, 42 years old, and you look at his resume, you know, from the Raiders to Tennessee, a Pac-12 blue blood, an assistant at, like, USC, Bama, now the head guy at Florida Atlantic. He's had his share of missteps. Would I be oversimplifying and saying his career should have probably gone in reverse, started here and worked his way up, and maybe things would have been different?
Yeah, but as it is, it's more like Benjamin Button than anything else, right?
Yeah.
Look, yes, he kind of did it the non-traditional way, obviously, starting with the Oakland Raiders and then Tennessee, USC. Even Alabama offense coordinator is a pretty good gig. But, look, here's the deal. I think Lane Kiffin is who Lane Kiffin is, and I don't think anything's going to change at between 32, 42, 52, whatever. I just think that's who he is. We've seen it over and over and over again, and you know, we'll see how it works at Florida Atlantic. But the one thing I would say is, if he does a nice job and wins there, he's going to get another look from somebody at the higher levels. Now, I think the days of getting a Tennessee job or a USC job are long gone. But that next tier down, the Minnesotas of the world, and, you know, I don't necessarily mean Minnesota, because P.J. Fleck is rowing the boat there. But
right.
But the Minnesota levels of the world, if FAU wins, and Lane's not in any trouble, he's going to get another shot at that middle-tier Power 5 job, I think.
Now, at those places we mentioned, you know, it's kind of the world is their oyster. They lack for nothing. Now at a place like FAU, Conference USA, how's he dealing with that? And maybe you alluded to it a bit. Does he seem like he's learned a lesson or two?
Well, I don't know if he has. Look, the one thing about Lane Kiffin is he's really good with the kind of a, he can do humor. It doesn't necessarily mean it's real. You know, he talks about, you know, the back of planes nowadays. You know, and frankly, he used to be on private planes when he would travel, and now he's flying commercial and not in the front. You know, so I do think there's a whole lot different. Now, the good news about Florida Atlantic, or if you're Florida Atlantic, is you don't have to do a lot of flying to do your recruiting. There's a ton of recruiting right there in South Florida. But when he does have to go places, you know, he's flying Southwest like everybody else.
Oh, that's interesting. So maybe he's had a lesson forced on him. I'm talking with George Schroeder, USA Today. At SEC Media Day, a lot of reporters hit on how Hugh Freeze basically didn't want to answer questions. I think there was an Auburn reporter who said he expected him to break out a cookbook. But now this kind of odd case, they're facing allegations. He's fired over a character issue, but they kind of have to defend him in hopes of lesser penalties. What kind of dilemma is Ole Miss facing, and does his departure help or hurt. I think we lost George. I guess
they were wrapped up in. Can you hear me?
Yeah, George, you cut out for about 6 seconds.
Okay. Their defense to the NCAA up until last week was wrapped up in Hugh Freeze's character and his integrity and the kind of culture of compliance he's created in this department. Now, you know, those of us who were paying attention to the case thought, well, that's interesting. I'm not sure I'm going to believe that. But it was essentially a semi-effective defense against NCAA. Then when you fire him and you take great pains on the one hand to say it's unrelated to the NCAA, to any NCAA issues, which means you still have the same defense for the NCAA. But on the other hand, you're firing him because of a lack of integrity in what appears to be personal character. To me, that, and to other people I talked with, I talked with a former NCAA Committee on Infractions case guy. At that point, you know, you've now undercut your defense. The defense was, you know, because of his integrity, we would never do all these things you've accused us of in the NCAA cheating department because of the kind of man he is. Well, now you fired him because you found out he was a different kind of man in another department. It sort of undercuts your NCAA defense. But you're sort of at this late in the game. They're supposed to go before the infractions committee next month for a hearing. It's sort of hard to change everything up, and change what you've already sort of posited what your defense is. So I think that suddenly their case got a lot harder to try. I think they were going to get hammered anyway, and I think, by the way, Freeze will still get hammered with what's called a show cause, and potentially with a lengthy suspension if he ever were to get another job that would take effect then. But I think Ole Miss is liable to get hammered too.
I want to get to the aftermath, back to Big Ten media days, you know, the Sandusky scandal. Once they were out, I thought they were wise to hire Bill O'Brien, kind of navigated through, then he left for the NFL. And now you have James Franklin from Vandy, who got through the sanctions, made the Rose Bowl last year. I mean, they haven't been in the preseason picture for 7 years now, six or five. Expectations pretty big this year in Happy Valley.
Yeah, and look, I think they should be, starting with Trace McSorley. I actually probably should start with Saquon Barkley, that he's as good as any tailback in the country, and is getting a lot of hype. And then Trace McSorley kind of came out, emerged from nowhere and became kind of a big-time quarterback. And look, the danger in whether it's USC as the winner of the Rose Bowl, or Penn State as the loser in a thriller in the Rose Bowl, is that you look at that last game and you see what a high level offensively, especially, it was played at, and you look at the 9-game win streak that Penn State had, and you look way too much on last year. Same with USC. You look way too much on last year as you project this year. Years are different, obviously. Obviously, there's going to be some personnel differences. Even if you bring back key personnel, there are team chemistry differences. Just, you know, the ball bounces different. But when you look at everything with Penn State, I think Ohio State is probably the team to beat in the Big Ten, in the East, which is obviously where all the power is stacked. And maybe Ohio State has a chance to be the best team in the country if the new offensive coordinator, Kevin Wilson, gets them going, like I think he might. But I get why people are high on Penn State. I just think, A, Ohio State's about to be better than it was a year ago, especially offensively. And B, it's hard to match what you did when you kind of come out of nowhere and have one of those great surprising years. Does that mean that that it was an aberration, that he's not building something there? No. I just think, as excited as everybody is for them, it wouldn't stun me to see them lose a couple of the games this year that they won last year, that kind of thing.
I see. You mentioned the Buckeyes, and they've been on a heck of a run for 4 years now, and obviously won it all, playoff last year. But they lost to Clemson 31-0, and Urban Meyer fired his offensive guys. You mentioned Kevin Wilson, and Ryan Day, who actually has been a chip Kelly guy recently. Did one loss like that really lead to Urban Meyer making these changes, or was he just overall displeased with the consistency of the offense last year?
Well, it was a flashpoint for sure. I mean, it was, look, 31-0 was like the culmination on the bad end of sort of the whole, here's what all our problems were this year. And they played the best team they played all year and just got completely shut down, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, at that point, you certainly go, well, look back at the fact that, you know, we ranked 81st or 82nd nationally in passing. The fact that we couldn't throw the ball vertically very, very consistently, and that was the downfall. And you look really how close they were to being an elite team, and you say to yourself, you know, we got to get the offense going, but we think we can. And so, yeah, I do think that when your goal and your expectation is to win the whole thing, you get into the playoff in a mildly controversial pick, and then you get a complete egg because you can't move the football and you can't score, then I think, yeah, you do make changes, and that's what they did. And I think it's not just that they made changes. I think the fact that Kevin Wilson, who was available because Indiana forced him out over the player treatment issues, the fact that Kevin Wilson was available was perfect timing. Perfect timing for Urban Meyer, because Kevin Wilson, all he does is coach big time offense.
Yep.
He's really good at it, and I think he could change them around. Their defense is going to be good. Urban Meyer thinks this might be the most talented team he's had.
Yikes. You mentioned it quickly. Final thought for George Schroeder. The run of Western Michigan last year, the row the boat mentality of P.J. Fleck, made a Cotton Bowl, actually played Wisconsin pretty tight. So he bolts for Minnesota. So according to what you wrote, I guess he talks as twice as much as anyone. He's got a reality TV show coming up. How high up the scale, I mean, you've seen them all. Does this guy rate on kind of the entertaining character scale?
Well, listen, he talks really fast, and he says a lot of stuff, and I think it worked at Western Michigan, and I'm in complete wait and see mode to see if it works at Minnesota. I like P.J. Fleck, but I don't necessarily think that P.J. Fleck is going to get it done, and I think the row the boat shtick, it'll be interesting to see what happens. I'm not right there. I'm not all in with the row the boat thing working at Minnesota. I'm just not there yet.
All right.
I just, you know, we'll see, and maybe he will. But let me just say this. When Oregon was looking, before they eventually ended up with Willie Taggart, P.J. Fleck was not on their list, even though that was sort of being bandied about out there.
Right.
He wasn't on their list because there's a subset of people out there who are in the know who think that a lot of the P.J. Fleck stuff is just smoke, mirrors, and a lot of salesman talk. And that's definitely how the power brokers at Oregon looked at it. And so I kind of feel the same way. We'll see, but I'm going to wait and see.
All right. Good stuff as always, usatoday.com, at George Schroeder on Twitter. George, I appreciate you being so flexible. You have a terrific weekend, and we will now talk with you in a mere 6 days.
I look forward to it.
All right.
Thanks, man.
Take it easy, George.